Good morning to our church here in Shelbyville, and we welcome all of our radio listeners this morning. At the end of this service today, there will be an offer made for the topic that we're discussing, and also we're hoping that all those who are listening today will follow along in your scriptures, or at least take notes if you're able to write down all the scriptures and check them out at your leisure. Today, at the end of this message, I'm going to be making an appeal, and I hope that anyone who is listening, whether you're in this church or you're in this community of Shelbyville, and you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you today, I pray that God's Spirit will impress upon your heart to make a commitment, a recommitment to Jesus Christ today. So join me today in prayer as we begin this message. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to be here and guide us to you. May our hearts be stirred today, and may we hear your voice speaking to us personally. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us through this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So how do we keep our families together? Before going to work, Mom makes breakfast as she asks her kids to get ready so that they won't be late for school. Dad's already at the door saying goodbye to the family. They won't see each other until late that night. Tomorrow it's going to be the same thing. And the next day, and the next week, and so on and so on. So how do we deal with all of this chaos and still keep our families together? Well, let's take first things first. And just like our earthly parents, our Heavenly Father also wants to keep us near to Him. Do you believe that? Amen. But if we are running around 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, too busy, taking care of business and homemaking and going out with our friends, going on appointments, and we're going to the bank and the club and eating out all the time, we lose our time with God. We just don't have time to squeeze Him in. There's no time to spend with Him because we've utilized it on something else. And if we can barely give Him a minute of the day, how are we going to set time apart to contemplate what heaven is really like? In Psalms 127, verse 1, it says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And if it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." Don't forget that the happiest people on earth today are those to whom God is first, last, and the best. Abiding in God is so important that He has declared it a commandment, the first one in His law. Look in Exodus chapter 20 at verse number 3, where God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And yet, money and pleasure and vice and human affection, anything that comes between the Lord and us is a substitute for God. And you know, so many times people, as human beings, we often put other people's opinions and their thoughts in place of God's clear word in His Holy Bible. We oftentimes, even though we read something in the Word of God and it conflicts with our own traditions and beliefs, we oftentimes discount what God's Word has to say, and we take care of business by following the things that we've always done, the tradition that we've had, the way we've been raised. If our friends or our family or our pastor or our church teaches something other than what God's Word has to say, we often will follow that tradition rather than following God. I want you to look at a dollar bill. You see, I think this illustration of what a false god is like, it's anything that would come between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you look on this on a dollar, it says, "In God we trust." Well, how about if you read it this way, "In gold we trust"? What is the difference? Well, one of them we have made our God, a God that can do nothing for us, that doesn't hear, that doesn't answer prayers. In gold we trust, all we can get is what we can gather up. But with God, friends, we have the multitude of heaven offered to every one of us through Jesus Christ. And so today, I hope that you're listening to the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, that God is offering you a multitude of blessings and treasures that only heaven can provide for you. Jesus declared what our priority should be like in Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 through 33. He said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God is good all the time. And he provides every need that you and I have. And if we don't abide in him, friends, we're exposing ourselves to live without God's protection. And we're living like homeless orphans who have a rich father, but they don't reap any of the benefits because they're so separated from the family. You know, there is a day for us to come closer to God and to our families. Well, let's look at a commandment that will help us to maintain a connection with God and with our families. It's the fourth commandment that God gave to us. Let's read it from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, where it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor your manservant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know, we're asked to perform all of our work in the 6 days that God gives us, and to worship the Lord with our families on the seventh day Sabbath. And after going to work during those 6 days, God expects us to visit him on Saturday and to be able to spend time with him in worship. He's waited all week long for that event to take place between him and his children. It will help to keep our families together, friends, if we worship together, if we prayed together, if we studied the word together, and we'll return back from church to our homes with the strength for this upcoming week that we will face many challenges and trials. And God will give us strength to go through that because we have spent time with him. But this can only happen on the seventh day. You see, many people are unaware that in the year 321 AD, that a Roman emperor named Constantine substituted Sunday instead of Saturday as a day of rest. And you know, this tradition has been passed down through the church to our day today, where many people are worshiping on the first day of the week in opposition to the commandment from God in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. God has given us a day of rest, and he has set that apart and sanctified it and made that day holy. There is no other day in the 7 days of a week that has been set apart or made holy except the seventh day, and that is Saturday. And that is the day that God put in the Garden of Eden for us to worship him on. It has been the day that he has called us to worship him on all through the history of this world. And guess what, friends? When we get to heaven, we're going to worship God on that same day, Saturday, the seventh day of the week, throughout eternity. It only makes sense to me that if God started it in the beginning and we're to worship it at the end of time throughout eternity, it only makes sense that that space of time between Garden of Eden and eternity, we will be still worshiping God in truth and in spirit on the Sabbath day that he has given to us. You know, there's a lot of people that worship on Sunday, and millions of people rest on that day, which is a meaningless day of worship. But those who choose to worship the Lord on the true day of rest are going to be rewarded. In Isaiah 58, verse 12 through 14, it says, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. And if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You see, imagine you're choosing seven out of seven envelopes that look exactly alike. And inside of these envelopes is a large sum of money. You can only choose one of them. Wouldn't you like to choose the right one with that nice check inside that gives you that large sum of money? I know you would. Most people would. And it seems like all the days of the week are the same, but God has taken one day out of the seven and made it special. And we can worship God on every day of the week. He expects us to worship Him and to glorify His holy name, not only in how we live our life, but in worshiping Him in our time with Him. But there is one day that God has created since creation and has made it a holy day for us to spend time with Him. Saturday is different from every other day of the week because God rested on that day from the very beginning of this world, and He blessed it, and He sanctified it. He made it holy. He set it apart from the other days of the week. So no matter what anybody else may say, God's opinion is the only one that really counts. Can you agree with that?
Amen.
You see, we can say we're going to worship God on Wednesday, or we can say I'm going to worship God on Sunday. I can say I can worship God on Friday. Well, that's true. We can worship God every day, but there is only one day that God has called for us to come to church and to worship Him, and that is the seventh day of the week that He has set aside from creation. It is the same day that you and I will worship Him on throughout eternity. God blessed it. He set it apart. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, He said, "Then God blessed the seventh day, and He sanctified it, because in it He rested from all of His work, which God had created and made." And in Leviticus 23:32, it tells us that it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the and of the month at evening. From evening to evening you shall celebrate your Sabbath. So we see here that the Sabbath day begins on Friday evening when the sun sets. If every member of the home helps to make this Sabbath a special day, each person will be encouraging the family in this family unity that is so needed today. Here's some recommendations to keep in mind that come from Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. "Then He said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning.'" You see, in order to avoid the stress, the rush of life that we are pressed on everywhere we go, we ought to have our clothing and our food and all of the other preparations taken care of on Friday before the Sabbath begins, so we do not have to stress about all those things when the Sabbath comes. And since Friday is that day of preparation, that's what God uses that day for, is for us to take away the stress so that we can worship Him without all of that stress. In Luke chapter 23 at verse 54, it says, "That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near." Also, we read in Psalms 122 at verse number 1, the most important thing that you and I should do on the Sabbath. It says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" You see, there are many young people today who say, "I don't care. I don't have to go to church that often, just occasionally. I don't have to be there every week." Well, God is calling for every man, woman, and child through this everlasting gospel to come to Him and worship on the day that He set aside, sanctified, blessed, and made holy. He's calling for us to come and worship Him on that day. And He's waited all week long for us to come before Him and kneel down and praise His holy name. You know, after our nightly rest, we go to church with our families the next morning. And then the rest of the day, we're going to be spending time with our families, with our loved ones. And we're also going to be participating in church activities that go on and community service, helping other people who are less fortunate, helping to lift their burden, praying for them, encouraging them, ministering to their needs. But there are other keys to keeping your family together. There was an Arab king who had six rules for raising his kids. You know, it seems like people who have never had kids always got all kinds of rules about how things should go. Isn't that true? We have all kinds of ideals until we have kids, and then things seem to change a little bit. Well, as time went by, this Arab king, he got married, and they had kids themselves. When somebody asked him if he had been successful with his six rules for raising kids, he responded like this: "When I was single, I had six rules to raise my kids by, and now I have six kids with no rules." Makes sense, right? That's usually what happens to us. The kids take charge. They got their own rules. In Psalms 112, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." Have you been to places where kids have changed the road signs to confuse one street with another? Have you ever done that? I know when I was growing up, me and my bad friends that I hung around with, we used to do that, twist the signs around so people would think they was going the wrong direction. Well, it's not very funny, though, friends, when you find out that you've been living your whole life and you've been going the wrong direction. It could be drastically devastating to anybody who thinks they're going the right way, but actually they're going in the wrong direction. When we have been going in the wrong direction, living lies in our life, the things that we thought were good actually turn out to be very harmful. But what was once good seems to be called all bad today. What once used to be called bad is seen and accepted today as being something good. Many people want to live without any rules in their life at all. But what God's word still stands for us, it's to protect us from the deceit and the deceptions of the devil. God wants us to trust in his holy word. And we can't know what is right if we never read it. God is calling for us to spend time with him every day of the week in prayer and Bible study, asking for the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us into truth. That's what God is supposed to do for us. Lead us into that truth that he wants us to follow. Many times people ask, "Well, how do I know what the will of God is?" Well, you won't find it on the TV. Sorry. You have to look pretty hard to find it on the internet. If you want to know the truth, go to the source, and that is in God's word. That's where the truth is at. And that's where God sanctifies his people, is through the word of truth. We need to go to God's word. It still stands as a standard for the life of every human being, and it still stands as a way of protecting us. God wants us to check his word out for ourselves, to be good Bereans, and to read the word for ourselves and to see if what people tell us, if what we see and hear is actually the truth of God's word. And then you and I are faced with a challenge. Are we going to follow what God says in his word, or are we going to listen to somebody else and follow our own way? Will we follow the traditions that we've always followed, or will we change and follow what God is calling us to? In Spanish, it's interesting to notice that the word felicidad, which means happiness, begins with the word fe, or faith. But have you ever noticed that the next two syllables, lice, can also represent what is licit or lawful? That which is lawful according to God's law. You see, let's keep in mind what God says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. It says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Whoever does that are guilty before God. Sin is lawlessness. And when we don't keep God's commandments, we're doing what is illicit. We're breaking God's laws. The other commandments, like don't commit adultery, honor your father and your mother, don't lie, and so on, they help us to maintain this unity in the family. They protect us from the devil's attacks and deceptions. When we smell a container, we can tell if it contains perfume or a stinky substance. In the same way, there are families who refine their homes and their neighborhoods with their very presence. And there are other families who expel disdain to those around them. And it also occurs with Christians. Sometimes people wear the name calling themselves Christians, but they act more like the devil than they do like Jesus. And they're giving a bad impression, a bad aroma to the society around them, because they're not living like God wants them to. God is calling for us in these last days to be consistent in our faith. And whatever we profess before people in the church or the community, that's how we ought to live. God is calling for us to live a consistent life with him. Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was a poet and a lecturer, he lived from 1803 to 1882. He wrote these words: "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." And he was just echoing God's words, because he recognized that a life is happier and more fulfilling when we obey God. Is that true or not? It is happier when we're obeying God. You know why? Because we don't have the depression, the discouragement. We don't have to be weighed down with guilt. And when we're following God in truth and in spirit, friends, we're living a happy, fulfilled life with God. And I know God wants that for every one of us listening today, to have a life that is happy and fulfilled. You know, living by faith is the beginning of happiness for God's people. But to experience complete happiness, we must live in harmony to God's wise precepts. Keeping God's commandments maintains us inside of that law. Not keeping them makes us an outsider. And he who doesn't live inside God's law is not living right. No matter what they might think, no matter how they've been raised, no matter what their traditions are like, no matter what somebody else might say, if we're not doing what God asks, we're not living the right way. In the Old Testament, God's people always wore these robes that were white, but at the bottom of the robe, there was a blue hem. As they walked, they could see that blue hem at each step that they took. And it reminded them that that blue hem was God's law, and they were to walk within the boundaries of that law, because within those boundaries was the blessing that God wanted to give to them every day. Every step they took, it reminded them that God was with them, and he was calling them to follow his will for their life. And in doing that, they found happiness and fulfillment as they walked within the parameters of God's law. Sometimes problems overwhelm us. But did you know that even our biggest problems have already been solved? In fact, the next time that I come back here to speak, we're going to be talking on the topic of our biggest problem have been solved. But before we finish today, I want to emphasize this promise that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse number 13. It says, "And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail." That's good news, isn't it? Amen. "You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them." You see, I invite you to see Christ today in all of his glory, in all of his wonder. I invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, no matter who you are. I don't care how long you've been in the church or out in society calling yourself a Christian. I'm inviting you today to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. That's what God wants you to do on a daily basis, is to come to him and reconnect with him. And today he's calling you on this special day that he has set apart and made holy so that you could spend time with him. This is what will bring that true happiness and fulfillment into your life, friends. If you've been searching through this world, looking for something that would be good for you, something that would bring happiness, something that would make your life full, and you've been searching through everything that you can possibly think of, and you haven't been satisfied, you haven't found it, let me give you Jesus. Today, he wants to be your best friend. He wants to be your Savior, your Redeemer. Today, he's calling for you. He's appealing through his Holy Spirit today to come to him before it's too late. We never know what life is going to hold for any of us. Too many times we hear stories. I just heard a story this week, or somebody I know that was close to me was working for an individual. That individual was healthy, had hired him to do some work for him, some construction work. And then he had a massive heart attack, was put on life support, and life is gone. Happens in an instant, friends, when a car runs into you head first. You never know when you're going to slip and fall down and do injury to yourself that's unrepairable. We can't tell what the future holds for any of us except for this thing, that if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, friends, you have this commitment and this promise from God, that you have a promise of eternity in heaven with him. And I say praise God for that, because it's the only promise that will not fade away. It doesn't change with time or with people. It doesn't change with people's desires or as the culture changes. This is a promise that has been consistent throughout eternity from the Garden of Eden. It is something that God promises to every one of us today. And he's appealing to us. No matter who we are, no matter where we're at, God is saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He wants to give us rest on this Sabbath day, but he also, more importantly, wants to give us rest in the Savior, Jesus Christ, knowing that through Jesus Christ, friends, we no longer have to struggle to find happiness and fulfillment and success in life. We find it in Christ. And by being close to Christ, we automatically get his happiness and the fulfillment we long for. God is calling. And listen, friends, he wants us, if we've never been baptized, He's calling for us to make that step to be baptized. And the only reason to be baptized is to keep the commandments of God is not so that we can be saved and go to heaven. The only reason that we get baptized and we follow God and keep His commandments and obey Him is because we love Him. You see, when we fall in love with Jesus, we're willing to follow Him wherever He leads us. In fact, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 4, it says this, "These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever He goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of them that follow." I think God wants us to follow Him, don't you? He's calling for us to give our hearts to Him today. He's calling for us to make a commitment to Him today so that you and I can have that happiness and fulfillment. And He wants to bring that happiness and fulfillment not just to our life, but the life of our family and our communities. He wants us to be infected so it would affect other people around us. Who's here today that would just like to raise your hand and say, "Yes, Jesus, I want to commit my life to You"? Is there somebody here? Thank you. Is there somebody here today you've been baptized and you'd like to recommit your life today? You'd like to say, "Yes, I want to prepare for that." Thank you. Is there somebody else you've never been baptized? You'd like to just raise your hand and say, "I want to make preparation for that." Is there someone? Is there another? If you're listening on the radio today, friends, and you're desiring to make this commitment to Jesus, call us and write us on the internet and let us know what your commitment is, that you've made this connection with Jesus today. We want to pray for you, and we want to pray about you, that God will just give you that happiness and fulfillment in your life. If you're longing to be baptized and make this public profession to Jesus Christ, I hope that you will make connection with our radio hostess today, and that she has got a giveaway that she wants to give you today, a special gift. So if you will make connection with her today, either on the phone or on the radio, on the internet, we would like to be able to follow through and give you a special gift today. As I close this service today, I'm inviting you to pray with me, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I know, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit speaks to us in ways that no one else can. Today, Lord, You've seen the commitment here in this church. And there are people in this community, Lord, that are listening to this radio service, and they're also making commitments. And I pray that through the power and presence of Your grace, that all of us can stand up for Jesus in this time when the world is just shaking with unbelief. And I pray, Lord, that You would bring the happiness and fulfillment into the life of every individual who is listening today that wants to know Jesus as our personal Savior. Thank You for this promise of heaven, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.